Welcome back to the morning shift. Triple in for Tiffany. Not going to be in tomorrow. I'm not doing it. I ain't doing back-to-backs. I told you.
Well, you
ain't doing it.
I'm going to tell you something. Your burner account's going to be upset because you've already tweeted about yourself on your burner account.
And now
I'm going to have to reply tomorrow and say, well, see, he's not the man because he didn't show up.
Well, we're playing a little Van Halen from 1982.
Yeah, how come I don't get Enter Sandman?
I heard that earlier, dude.
Those are one hitter quitters, dude.
Y'all can go back to the well on those.
I love some old school Van Halen, but it don't get no better than Sandman.
I did that as a foreshadowing of Rusty Rocks.
You're gonna love Rusty Rocks. You and Steak, I may have to calm him down on this one.
I used to love Rusty Rocks until you fired shots at Top Hot Tuesday.
You fired shots first.
What do you mean?
Yeah, you fired shots. Ooh, you came out with your own little. You tried to take Rusty's gig and do it for yourself, and I just don't appreciate
it.
We don't need all the negativity.
I just felt like I needed a little bit of smoke and some Enter Sandman. We don't have a mascot. I'm not getting fired here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the field that caught on fire, right?
Yeah, I reread that, and it was the field that caught on fire. So I'm sure, at this
just
point, we can catch this place.
Story.
I don't know. Wouldn't it matter if we caught this place on fire?
I don't want to hijack it, but I'll tell you this. I was on the field in Indianapolis when Alabama and Georgia came out. That fire is no joke.
Oh.
When you're close to those things, I could not believe the amount of heat those things put out.
No eyebrows left.
I said, holy moly.
Let me tell you something.
Puts out some, it's amazing they still do that in college because I'm telling you, I was like, whoa.
I know Mike's ran through it, and it said it singed eyebrows. We've been on the field many a times in pregame, and when they used to have it, it would go off.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, well, and if it was a cold day somewhere, it'd be nice, but it was never cold at home. It's always 68 degrees.
I love the pyro celebrations, man. The cannons, the fireworks. Give me all that stuff.
Dude, my high school shoots a cannon. And we don't score many touchdowns anymore, and I can hear it from my house. So it used to light up Friday nights, but now we're just
sporadic.
You might hear a boom about 9:30, but the old cannon at my high school was awesome.
Pyrotechnics is great unless you're at a Great White concert, though.
Right? Oh, dude.
There we go.
Cool. Too soon?
You know,
Lord
what's funny?
Have mercy.
Is we'll be down in Tampa this weekend. And hopefully,
so this hour's brought to you by
I did not say that. I'm sitting that one out.
I buy that one.
I hope there are no cannons fired on Sunday, Rusty, down in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, man.
I don't need Gene Deckerhoff saying, fire the cannons.
Listen, those two receivers out, you don't want anybody injured, but you got to take advantage of a situation like that.
Yeah, but suddenly they got a three-headed monster in the backfield.
I know, but.
Can we start with the Kennesaw State last night?
I watched the whole game.
The 1,500, they were plus 1,500 on the gambling line on the money
27
line.
And a half point dog, right?
Yeah, you were minus 4,500 if you wanted to bet on Liberty last night. So you'd have played 4,500 to win 100 last night. That's how much of an underdog they were. Bohannon just watched his interview on CBS HQ.
Yep,
he's fired up, man. He's been there a long time and seen a lot of success, but obviously not recently.
Well, having to go to Conference USA and a roster transition, having a couple of key injuries, those type of things, it's not a great setting. But to have your team, boy, they 0-5, 0-6, and
6.
To have your team 0-6, you know you're on TV. Here's the one shot that Conference USA has to get a at-large playoff bid was Liberty. That was – the Conference USA this morning's got to be going, what in the heck just happened?
Good.
That was a $10 million loss almost. I mean, that was a massive loss because nobody else in that conference is getting in now.
And in the name of parity.
Man, I tell you what, but what a huge win for Kennesaw State. And what it says for Brian Bohannon and those kids to play that hard and to – listen, Liberty jumps on them 7-0. You think, here we go. It's about to be – and then next thing you know – They score again, and they held on. And I watched the whole game, man. I'm a sicko. I had Middle Tennessee State and Jack State on my laptop and on my TV.
You are a sicko, man.
Dude, I loved it.
That's definitely sicko.
I went upstairs to watch both games.
Wow, man.
I love it.
That's a man that doesn't have
and not even gambling on them. Too.
What did he gamble?
You're watching it with pure intentions.
I watched it, man, and thought, God, slow down, football season. Damn, slow down.
Hey, man, let me ask you about this. There's such a kerfuffle about the Texas fans throwing stuff on the field. I like what the SEC did to deflect away from the real subject of the matter, and that's the officiating.
Yeah, it was bad, man. I mean,
that's like, don't look at this. Look over there.
Here's the whole problem, and I don't know. We do have Kirby Smart on this morning, Steakhouse. I don't know how much he'll get into and what he can and what he can't say, but I'll say this: every call it seemed like, and every Georgia, I think, went 0-3 on reviews. One of those, when Kirk Herbstreit goes, yeah, that's a touchdown. Yeah, that I don't even know why we're looking at that. And then you sit there and go, and he goes, wait a minute, what do you see? And then Chris Fowler goes, well, here's the elevated view. Yeah, he's in, but the side view makes it a touchdown. You're just like, what's going on? And between the Georgia fans, and I do not know if this is true, it seems to be, they have found this man's LinkedIn. The head official, Matt Loeffler.
I saw this.
So Matt Loeffler,
it's like clockwork, man.
So Matt Loeffler was a TCU graduate. Okay, that has nothing to do with Texas. He has been a business owner for 34 years in the state of Texas. Okay, congratulations.
Well, it helps him. Texas is good.
His son has graduated from the University of Texas. His daughter-in-law is a graduate of the University of Texas. I don't know exactly how you bring that into, because I'm going to tell you, there's some human nature involved at some times. I don't care what you say. I don't know that you should put that variable into a game like that. I tell you what, if Alabama and Auburn lose a game like that and the head official's son went to Auburn, can you imagine what was going on? It'd be an issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So Villager's torch is going after
Frankenstein. At the end of the day, Georgia went out there and handled business, but I just don't know how you get a situation where you have
how far down the family tree do you go when you start outlawing? Well, I don't know.
When you're at Christmas dinner, when you're at Christmas dinner for the rest of your life, at some point, you got to say, wait a minute, maybe this isn't the crew for this. I don't know.
His cousin twice removed's grandfather was a grad assistant at Texas in 1978.
What? I did hear something. Somebody had they had a thought, and I want to ask you about LSU, Texas A&M, because that's the biggest game of the weekend.
Massive game.
But somebody had the kind of thought of, is it time for not to have conference officials anymore and kind of have in some way in college football, can you get together and basically have officiating groups that aren't in a conference, and then that way – there's kind of nothing on the line. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to think about. We've seen calls sometimes that go away, and you're like, well, kind of like what you just talked about.
Yep.
It was a $10 million loss for Conference USA last night.
Yep.
So there's not a $10 million loss for the future Pac-12 or whatever, you know?
Or the officials from the geographic area of the conference.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I've always thought, if you're going to get to be an NFL professional, if you're going to get to the SEC, and there is hundreds of millions of dollars in these leagues, period, riding on this the outcomes of these things, I don't know why these guys aren't full-time employees. Why don't you pay these guys and say, okay, either you want to get in this career and we're going to take care of you from June the 1st until January the 1st, you're a full-time employee of this company.
Yeah, I just don't know if that makes them better. I mean, you still have people that are full-time employees that are terrible at their job.
Well, and honestly,
you can invest in that. Because these guys work in – I know one of the head basketball officials, and he does national championship games. He's a banker Monday through Thursday. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what could he do to review tape and to learn 3 days a week going in? Maybe he could do it.
Here's what I will say, just to kind of bring this home. In the end, on the whole trash on the field thing, the right call was made.
It was the right call.
And that's the thing I keep going back to. Like, yeah, we can talk about ties and all that stuff, and there were definitely some ticky-tack overturns, whatever. You know, you didn't get the benefit of the doubt. But, like, on that one specifically that everybody's been up in arms about, I hate how they came about it. In the end, it's like,
the problem is the right call. The problem is, Mike, the problem there is, end of the day, it was the right call. The problem is, next time you have a holding call and somebody don't like it and the student section throws something onto the field and causes a 7.5-minute delay, are they going to discuss that other guy going, hey,
right?
That's the problem, the precedent you set. I had no problem. Once they spotted the ball, I'm like, that's going to be a call. That call right there is going to kind of be about this game. What happened after that, a 7.5-minute delay, and then you see the video of Sark going to talk to that official, and then that official grabs his earpiece, or he puts his hand on his right ear, and then he walks to the center of the field, and then they start discussion. So they're not perfect. They're humans, but that was a judgmental call, and that has been part of football from day one.
Isn't that the essence of what home field advantage is, though? Where you can bully them into changing a call. That's what it's all about.
I tell you what, they bullied them with about 3,000 Dasanis.
What do you think about this LSU A&M game? Because A&M is very physical on that defensive line, Rusty.
This is the top two teams in SEC right now.
Yes, it is.
This is the top two. Georgia, Texas, huge game. Georgia, Alabama, everybody talks about. This is the – I saw Billy Lucci, who's one of the market leader of Texas A&M, owns Texags. He said this is the biggest home game in – I think 30 years for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He said how important this game is.
That Mike Elko hire is looking good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely is. They play tough. Here's what I'll say. I'm rooting for A&M.
Yeah.
Because I want to see this Texas A&M showdown at the end of the year.
Dude, can you imagine?
I mean,
you talking about two Colts?
Bare knuckle brawl.
You talking about two Colts?
Bare knuckle brawl. And is that Thanksgiving? The amount of money floating around
week?
That place.
Is that Thanksgiving week? Oh, dude.
And I'm pretty sure it's I'm pretty sure it's on Friday.
Oh my gosh.
I might be off on that. It might not be Black Friday. I thought it was. That one's going to be.
I think it's a big game, Bo. I mean, LSU's playing good. How about Whit Weeks, kid out of Coney County? Whit Weeks' dad, David Weeks, played at Georgia. He was a captain, played with Kirby Smart. He's got two sons at LSU. He's got Wes Weeks and Whit Weeks. He's got a third son, Zach Weeks, who's a 2026 tight end at Oconee County, already got Power 5 offers. I've known David since college, played at Marist. Whit Weeks has turned LSU around. They lost Harold Perkins, and everybody's like, they're in trouble. Whit Weeks is freaking balling down there.
How about Clemson?
The bad dude, man.
How about Clemson just kind of suddenly just
Here's what I want to say about Clemson. And everybody's talking about Clemson's right. Clemson's going to play this SEC schedule. Play what Florida's about to play. Go through what Florida's about. You know, Clemson is over there in that division, and they're just cruising along and getting better, and everybody's getting healthy, and everybody's group hugging, and we love each other. Play the schedule that Florida's about to play. And I'm telling you, this SEC discussion with these schedules, and that's why the Big Ten commissioner and the SEC commissioner went to Nashville for a private meeting. Because I'm telling you right now, they're looking at the scope, and they're going to find out how they can protect their leagues. Because those two leagues and those schedules, it's murderers.
Well, and it's the same. We have had this conversation about the Big 12 champion maybe not getting the top four. You know, if Navy or Army went out, like
– yeah.
You look at the Big 12 schedule and you know, BYU and you know, Iowa State, whatever, it's like, God, it just feels like robbery that you might see one of those get a four seed.
Yeah, man. I mean, and Clemson talking about leaving the ACC, what in the hell are you thinking?
Yeah, you got it made.
Dude, I'd be paying extra to stay.
Because
can we pay more? Can we pay more? Because that's where you want to be, like – it's great for them.
I know we got to go to commercial, Rob. I just want to finish up by saying I think it's LSU's schedule down the stretch. Ugly as well.
Yes.
You got A&M, Bama, Florida, Vandy, and then you finish up with Oklahoma. I think that's a tough one as well. So there's a couple of them when you look at it and go, man, rough stretch coming up.
I'm telling you, I'm going to ask Kirby this. There's going to be one to two SEC schools that's going to get left out that shouldn't have got left out.
Yeah, I agree.
There's going to be one to two, I'm guaranteeing you.
Mm-hmm.
This schedule, this league, when you start doing South Carolina's defense and you look at Vandy, how good they are offensively, this league is no joke right now.
Miss State might get someone.
Florida's getting
hot. Mississippi State's going to get somebody.
Well, just expand it all to 16. Somebody. We'll be all right, right?
They will at some
point. Let's just do 32 teams and have the Big Ten and the SEC play for it.
Let's do a college basketball
bracket. Have a national championship Easter weekend.
Yeah. Easter.
Division One.
By the time we get done.
Have an Easter weekend.
You get a bid.
All right, Rusty Manziel coming up on the Steakhouse. And Rusty Rocks.
You're going to like it, man.
I'm going to love it.
You're going to love it.
All right. All right, coming up, Hawks last night. Saw some things I liked. It's one game, I know. They could be destined for the play-in, I know. A couple things stood out last night that encouraged me, though. That's coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to the Morning Shift this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain. Go to markspain.com, get to packing if you want to sell your house. Oh, by the way.
Ding.
Let's do the 10th caller, 404-726-0929, for a chance to win a pair of tickets to Winterfest, the all-white affair, Volume 2 concert. You get to see people like Escape, BBD, Q Parker and Friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's coming up on Friday, December 20th, 8 o'clock, State Farm Arena. 10th caller, get to go to Winterfest, the all-white affair. All right, gentlemen. Hawks get the win last night in their opener. And
First place Hawks,
yes.
Yeah, first place.
And they're trending.
Maybe a tie.
At this rate, they'll go 82-0, right?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, as I said to open the show, I looked at last night watching this game as a burden because I don't really like October NBA basketball, but – you know, there's some new faces on the Hawks. You're hoping for something to be excited about, something to be optimistic about. And I saw it last night, certainly.
That's right.
Caw-caw.
I just feel like I I've mentioned this a number of times. I keep saying it. I'm ready to be hurt again. But there is something to be said about the youth that you feel around this team and the grittiness and the hunger that you hope they display. right? Obviously, Zachary Risache does not start last night. DeAndre Hunter does. But, you know, watching him step in, hit the three-pointer, Dyson Daniels playing good defense throughout the game.
That really stood out for me. That's one of the things I teased about being really excited about was Dyson Daniels actually showing some offensive acumen as well.
I agree. And just all the way around, man, Jalen Johnson coming fresh off the extension. Obviously, you know, still getting things done. Probably, honestly, the most important player we have. Then Trae Young, just an extra spring in his step, even though he looks like he's 10 years older than he did last year.
Playing with joy.
I just think that there is something to be said about the mindset that I saw last night, and it was a closer game than you wanted it to be. You didn't hit your free throws. Shots weren't falling as easily as you wanted to. But I don't know, man. I'm just intrigued. I think that's the word I'm looking for right now. I'm just intrigued by this team.
It was energizing to watch a team on the court that looked and felt energized in their play instead of watching a team that feels like they're going through the motions and they don't like each other on the court.
I looked at this team last night. I thought they look like they like each other.
Having fun.
Celebrating with each other, having fun.
And I think that it's all due to the fact that Trae Young has a beard.
Yes.
He's now like the avuncular uncle.
He has now became my favorite bearded player in the NBA.
Man,
Trae Young.
And on a side note, the DeJounte news coming out of New Orleans last night that he
that's unfortunate, dude. I hate it.
Fractured hand in his Pelicans debut is just enough to make you nauseous.
Well, you hear things here and there about how when things end like they did. Let's just be honest. I don't think it was the nicest split in the world. It becomes toxic, and you saw that on the court from this team last season. All that said, I love DeJounte Murray. I love the way he plays. He has that killer instinct in him on the court. I absolutely hate it for him because he needed a fresh start in New Orleans. Yeah. And to start with it getting injured, it's so unfortunate. I hope he recovers quickly and can play still a good portion of the season.
Well, and to Rob's point, it's October, right? Trae had the fractured hand. He had surgery last year, and he was out, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. You would hope that by the time the calendar turns that DeJounte can be back to kind of full health and still have the season that a lot of people were hoping.
And it depends on the player, too. I mean, if it was Ben Simmons, he'd be out till 2027. But since it's DeJounte Murray, I expect him to be back before the season's
what
over.
What position was Ben Simmons playing last? Oh, Dylan's on the phone. Oh, he was in the building. I kept checking back on my TV going, what is going on here? So. I don't know, man. They had weird structure with that last night.
Kongu last night, 28 points, so career high. He was playing with his hair on fire.
Shot lights out.
Deeper team, better defensive team.
Hopefully
a fun watch.
What's your initial thought when you see Okongwu have a night like that on night one of the season?
Can you please duplicate it?
Exactly. To your point, I'm going, man, is this a new Okongwu?
Yep.
Or is it like, man, I hate that we leaned on Okongwu to get 2080. You know what I mean? Like, two different storylines kind of going on simultaneously in my head going, it's night one. Man, it's awesome. Newfound freedom, shooting the ball. And then I'm like, man, that was a tighter game than we wanted to. And somehow we had to get a career night just to pull that one off against one of the worst teams in the NBA.
They're not the worst team in the NBA yet. Right now they're just 0-1. Or they were 0-0 when you played them. So let's, you know, I don't like that. Don't put that bad vibe out there.
Well, what did Vegas have the Hawks
at? They were undefeated.
Over-under, was it 36 and a half?
36, what you said earlier.
I think it's something along those. Clearly, this is a team that can win 42 games, can't they? I hope.
Okay. That's where we're at. I'll tell you something. All I know is the Brooklyn Nets came in here last night undefeated, and the Hawks gave them their first loss. Yeah. See, that's how you got to think about it, Mike. How am I the positive one?
I never imagined that this segment would lead to Bo giving me advice on how to be positive, but here we are. I appreciate it, and I appreciate that advice. It's bad luck, Sleprock over there. It's not Big Time Bo or Badman Bo. It's Bright Side Bo. You know what I mean? Bo Stradamus.
You know, I don't like how y'all have a name for me for every mood. It's not like I have mood swings or anything. I'm pretty even keel.
Yeah. All right, Sybil.
No, I was going to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm judging you. I'm not going to do it. Anyways.
All right, Charlotte. What? That's in town tomorrow. That's a home game, right, Charlotte?
That's right, Friday night. Dukes and Bell will be down there at the arena, so get in early and go see Mike and
8:30,
Carl.
8:30, Atlanta United. Going to Miami, take on Messi and that Miami squad, of course. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, noon on Saturday, Georgia bye week. Falcons, Buccaneers, big divisional game on Sunday. Falcons a 2.5-point favorite in that 1 o'clock
game. How about the sneaky, and this is Tiffany's game, UNLV against Boise late night tomorrow.
Boise,
that's right. So sorry to Dirk Cutter. He used to hammer that home.
I guess UNLV doesn't miss their quarterback who left, right?
Isn't that the thing? It's like, he's not really that good anyway.
Yeah, it's like, okay, bro. Okay.
We're good. He's just okay.
Yeah, we kind of made him. Anyways.
All right, life of you. What is it?
Hey, what's your drink of choice when doing when competing in an athletic competition at any point, even if you're playing golf? And non-alcoholic, by the way.
Oh, well, that takes me out of it.
Well, you can say your alcoholic drink. We know where you stand. All right. Next, Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
I love you guys.
They still partying on Barrett Parkway. Welcome back to the Morning Shift.
Yeah.
Kennesaw State, big win last night. Good for them.
All in, baby. Hoo-da-hoo. Hey, we know we got a beer. I got to bring you a beer. Remind me, I'll bring you a beer tomorrow.
I bet Cowboys was hopping last night, too, wasn't it?
That, you know, Cowboys is gone.
It is.
Oh, yeah, you didn't know?
I didn't know Cowboys. Bring
the music down,
oh,
Dylan.
You didn't know?
Dylan.
Oh, wow. You better call somebody.
Rob, they tore Cowboys down, and they built
nail salon?
Retirement Walmart. Apartment homes.
Oh, that's even worse.
Well, I bet they're partying even. Well, you hear about them retirement homes. You been to the Villages?
it's a throwdown in there.
Let me tell you something.
It's Caligula in there, man.
I don't know how many heinous crimes were committed in that Cowboys parking lot, but I do know a few kids were conceived in it
and lost.
I used to have a real estate license. You know, that's the only thing in our country you can legally discriminate against people is you can keep people under age 55 out of those Villages.
Yeah,
that's the only thing you can legally discriminate against, and that's why you see so many people throwing money into them. Is because it's like retirement. It's like the only thing you can discriminate based on anything, and they discriminate based on age.
Well, there used to be an apartment complex right there on the Chattahoochee, adults only.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of it, but that talk about an orgy. Talk about an orgy back in the late 70s, early 80s. Good heavens, man alive!
Hey, I got to ask you something. We've been working together now for a month when you've been talking about this Owl Inn. Rob shows up for one day, and you're like, hey, I got to bring you a beer. I've never tasted one. I don't know why this has come to a level of disrespect where Rob gets a beer first, and I've been sitting here for a month and
Marcia,
haven't been
Marcia,
offered
Marcia.
One. You've been talking about this Owl Inn for a month. I mean, sheesh, dude. And we've had beers together multiple times in the last month. Unbelievable, but Rob gets one first. Whatever.
Quickly for life is Squid, though. 8:30 tomorrow, Atlanta United. Miami and Messi, of course. And I'm telling you, man, Atlanta United, I just ignored them. They were an afterthought. It's like when you end a relationship with a woman, then you run into her a few years later. It's like, wow, she's lovely.
The biggest upset in franchise history happened last time Atlanta United went to Miami. Uh-huh. And, of course, this team looks a lot different than it did a few months ago.
Good for
them. Nonetheless, they weren't scared last time they went down there and got it done.
Okay. Mike, are you done crying? I can't have you tearing up during my segment, all right?
Is it? Okay, sure. I just, you know what I'm saying? Just, I don't know. I would have offered you a beer.
Get it all out. I want you to cry it all out.
It's just pointing out facts, man. You can get up in arms all you want to.
I'm not up in arms. I mean, I think it's cute. You're all upset. I'll be posting my meat soon enough on the Instagram again. It's coming back, baby.
Anyhow, not
the meat man
the
is
topic.
Back. That's right. The official beer sponsor of Kennesaw State Athletics, the same Kennesaw State that saw an undefeated Liberty come in there. Ain't nothing but a thing. They ain't undefeated no more.
Hoo-doo.
How about that?
Yeah.
So like shout that. Out to Owl Inn, which Mike Johnson will get a sip of.
No, I don't need your sympathy, man. It would have meant something if you had offered it to me before you just offered one to Rob. I don't need your sympathy now. I don't even want one now. Don't worry about it.
Okay, well, you're missing out.
Maybe a Sprite.
Oh, you know what?
What?
You know what?
What?
You know, that's it. Dylan?
What?
Dylan.
What?
You're going to referee Marcus of Queensberry's rules. Mike and I are fighting after this show because he just crossed a line.
Fair.
I will tell you that you can cross the line with me November 25th. Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. As it turns out, I now have an open spot on my team because Mike has been ejected. He will no longer play with me. No, I'm just kidding. You can play with me.
Good. We'll have to carry you for 18 holes.
Okay. Let me tell you something. You know what? We'll play one-on-one. Oh, by the way, next Friday practice round.
Ding.
You don't miss it. I got us a free round. We're playing Parlous Tournament. So, anyways, Pets for Vets is a charity. We've got some great sponsors, including New Realm is signed up. They're in. They're going to have the Owl Inn beer there on the site. So maybe you can get one then, Mike. And don't forget my pens at Twin Peaks. We've got Finley Roofing in. So we have a plethora of sponsors. You can still get in. Maybe even a few to be named later. All right. Speaking of drinks, what is y'all's drink of choice? Now, I'll let you think about it for a second. Yes, you can put an alcoholic drink in there, but when you're competing, your game day. Yeah. So I play MGA. So my men's golf league, and when I do the basically my series of events that I go through to get up is I get up there, I hit the range for 30 minutes, right? Get a good lather because it's during the summer, and then I walk into the clubhouse and order a transfusion. And on the way up there, though, I'll drink some water with Mio in it. Normally the green apple one, energy drink on the way up there. And then that's kind of my drink of choice. So while you guys are thinking and contemplating normal drink of choice is, here's what Chiefs Brian Cook has to have on Endearing games.
Can I get some Sprite when you get a chance? Huh? Play some Sprite when you get a chance.
Who has that?
I don't remember about who, but I got Sprite last week. I'm trying to get it again.
Sir.
So I got that for you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Where do you want it? Where do you want to keep it?
You go keep it somewhere cool, but I need like little cups of it throughout the game.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the Sprite. This a little bit in the cup. Thank you.
That's so weird, dude.
I've never heard of Sprite. I understand different things. I know Marshawn Lynch had the Skittles, Rob, but Sprite is your drink of choice. It's a little bit different for me.
It makes no sense at all in any direction.
Can I get some Sprite when you get a chance?
Yeah, I got
There's no caffeine.
Sprite.
There's no hydration. There's nothing of anything that you would need during a football game.
Maybe it's just a taste. Rob, what's your drink of choice?
Jolt Cola. Twice the sugar, twice the caffeine, baby.
Might as well said Mountain Dew.
Heart attack in a can is what that Jolt Cola is.
That's awesome.
I don't even know if they still make it or not.
I think they do.
I'm just a simple, Red Powerade kind of guy.
Red Powerade, huh?
Yeah, Red Powerade, the old fruit punch, man. Just throw it on ice a little bit. Got to drink it on ice. It actually tastes 10 times better out of a Yeti, too. So, thank me later if you're out there listening for that
with
one.
With ice.
Yeah, with ice. Yeti, yeah. Ice, Red Powerade. It's the way to go.
Oh, by the way, I need to talk about Yeti.
How do you know when an atheist and a Yeti cooler owner walk into a bar?
Oh.
They tell you.
Yeah, that's the whole. How do you know if they've read the book?
I knew that was coming. Oh, I knew it. Some people are proud of them, and
no, they should be for the amount they pay for them. But that's neither here nor there.
that's why you got to know somebody.
That knows somebody.
That is always true. Yes, Dylan, what was your drink of choice?
My drink of choice is always blue Powerade because that is the best color of Powerade.
Despite
whatever you guys think. Blue Powerade is what gets me right, and it's what makes me clutch for my intramural basketball games. Don't say a word, Bo.
And I have no problem with the blue
I'm just
Powerade.
I'm Dylan's, a fierce. Dylan's face on the front of a magazine with blue Powerade coming out of his pores, and then it says, it's in you.
Hey, I'm all for it. Sign me up.
I go for the old school green Gatorade in the glass bottle.
I do love the lemon lime Gatorade, but you know what we used to do? When we would be out on Saturday nights and Friday nights and we would kind of feel rough the next morning, I'm not going to say why, Mama, if you listen.
Mama.
But I would do the Fierce Grape Gatorade, man. The Fierce Grape Gatorade will kickstart your heart. It is phenomenal. And a calzone from Johnny's Pizza.
Would that kickstart your heart, too?
That would...
Your colon.
Yes, that's exactly what it would do. That grease would hit. There was one time, I'm going to tell you something, I had to crawl to a bathroom upstairs.
Oh, did your ankles hurt? What do you mean?
If this short gate got to moving, it was going to be messy.
Oh, man, I'm going to hand it off to the steakhouse. Oh, by the way, Antonio from Atlanta, Franklin from Covington, they won the tickets. What was that event called? I even forgot what it was called. I'm sorry.
Winterfest.
Thank you very much.
Winterfest
at State Farm Arena. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get to packing. I'm packing right now, heading out. Okay, I'll be back tomorrow. I am doing back-to-back, so I've decided.
Your burner account will be happy.
Both of them.